On Thursday's front page, a warning in Tokyo, don't let babies drink the water. That's adding to the anxiety about the Fukushima nuclear plant. In Libya, corruption is so common that a State Department cable called the government a kleptocracy. And small Central American countries are becoming battlefields in the war against Mexican and Colombian drug cartels. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says radioactive iodine in Tokyo's water supply prompted a warning. Infants should not drink tap water there. Tokyo Governor Shintaro Ishihara said levels of radioactive iodine in tap water were more than twice what's considered safe for babies. Prime Minister Naoto Kan said the public should avoid farm produce from areas near the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. Officials urged people in Tokyo to buy only what they need. They said hoarding could hurt people in places devastated by the earthquake and the tsunami. Reporter David Jolly says people didn't follow that advice.
There was sort of a run on bottled water after the announcement. I just came back from interviewing some convenience store clerks, and they said that within an hour after the announcement, people had just cleared the shelves of water. The chief cabinet spokesman went on TV and gave a press conference where he said it's unfortunate, but sort of inevitable. With the water they're spraying on the reactors up there to cool them in Fukushima Daiichi power plant, when they do that, that gives off steam. The steam is carried away, and right now there's rain. It's sort of a cold and rainy night here in Tokyo.
Reporter David Jolly. Japanese Cabinet Secretary Yukio Edano said the radiation is being carried in the air. The problems at the Fukushima plant have revived a debate in this country over how to manage nuclear waste. Nuclear experts say the holding pools for spent fuel at U.S. nuclear plants are more heavily loaded than the ones at Fukushima Daiichi. That could make the ones here more vulnerable. So far, the Obama administration has not announced a plan for moving waste away from reactors and replacing a planned repository in Nevada. President Obama promised to cancel that project during the 2008 campaign. Last year, he ordered the Department of Energy to withdraw a construction application. Thursday's Times says kickbacks and strong-arm tactics have been common since the U.S. reopened trade with Libya in 2004. 2 years ago, aides to Colonel Muammar Gaddafi demanded that global energy firms operating in Libya's oil fields pay the $1.5 billion Libya owed for the downing of Pan Am Flight 103. Most of the companies said no way, but some appeared willing to make what amounted to payoffs to keep doing business. The crackdowns on drug cartels in Mexico and Colombia have pushed the powerful syndicates into smaller Central American countries that can't fight them off. U.S. officials say 84% of cocaine shipments moving north crossed through Central America last year. That's up from 40% in 2008 and 23% in 2006, the year President Felipe Calderón began Mexico's assault on drug gangs. Here in New York, a former city child welfare worker and his supervisor were indicted on charges of criminally negligent homicide in the death of a Brooklyn girl. The Brooklyn District Attorney says they failed to protect 4-year-old Marcella Pierce. She weighed only 18 pounds when she died in September. She'd been repeatedly beaten and tied to a bed.
I'm loud and I'm vulgar and I wear the pants in the house because somebody's got to. But I am not a monster. I'm not.
That's Elizabeth Taylor in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. She won her second Academy Award for that 1966 film. Her sultry screen personality and stormy personal life made her one of the last of the classic Hollywood stars. She was married 7 times, twice to Richard Burton. Elizabeth Taylor died at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. She was 79. Inside Thursday's Times, the state budget squeeze is becoming a city budget squeeze. Struggling state governments are planning deep cuts in aid to cities and local governments. In Ohio, cities stand to lose $500 million, and the Republican governors in Wisconsin and Michigan want to send far less money to Milwaukee and Detroit. But it's not just Republicans who are slashing aid to cities. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's a Democrat, decided not to restore $302 million in state aid to New York City that was cut last year. A bomb exploded at a crowded bus stop near Jerusalem's main bus station. One woman was killed and at least 24 people were injured. It was the worst attack in Jerusalem in 4 years. It came amid rising tensions along Israel's border with Gaza. The blowout preventer that should have stopped the BP oil spill failed because of faulty design. That finding comes from a testing firm hired by the Interior Department. It says there was also a problem with a bent piece of pipe. That caused the malfunction of supposedly fail-safe equipment. The report could lead to design changes in the way blowout preventers are made. Before long, you won't have to swipe a credit card or a debit card. Your cell phone can handle the transaction. There's just one hitch. A major behind-the-scenes battle is delaying so-called mobile wallets. Cell phone carriers, banks, credit card issuers, payment networks, they all want to control the new way of paying. First, they have to sort out how they get paid. The stakes are enormous because small, hidden fees are generated every time consumers swipe their cards. Those fees add up to billions annually. In Thursday's Business Day section, Goldman Sachs chief executive Lloyd Blankfein told the jury at an insider trading trial that a former Goldman board member violated the investment bank's confidentiality policies. Blankfein said ex-Goldman board member Rajat Gupta discussed board secrets with Galleon Group hedge fund founder Raj Rajatnaram. He's accused of making more than $50 million off illegal trades.
Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Here in New York, city officials are feeling groovy about renaming the Queensboro Bridge after former Mayor Edward I. Koch. The city council approved the name change for the structure made famous in Simon and Garfunkel's 59th Street Bridge song. Koch says the renaming comes with responsibility. He's now the bridge's number one guardian. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.